Hello, everybody, and I'm stirred up, Greg.
I'm too.
Well, the scripture says stir yourself up, but I pretty well stay stirred up all the time. Amen. Now, let's go back to the songbook. In the 118th Psalm, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Oh, oh, we give thanks unto the Lord, for you are so good. Because his mercy endures forever. His chesed endures forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endures forever. Now, so you need to be saying it.
Yes.
His mercy endures forever.
Yes.
When I came in the first time, I found the scripture that said he died for the ungodly. And I said, well, that's certainly me. And his mercy endures forever. Thank God.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
It endures forever. You'll fear the Lord and say, his mercy endures forever. I called upon the Lord in distress, and the Lord answered me, put me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. The Lord's on my side. Glory to God.
Yes. Amen.
We win.
Yes.
Amen. And the Lord takes my part with them that help me. So that's partners.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Amen. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes or government.
Yes.
That 13th verse, thou shalt thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord help me.
Amen.
Jehovah, the Lord is my strength and song and became my salvation in a voice of rejoicing. And salvation is in the tabernacle of righteousness. Well, yeah, the great apostle Paul wrote, he who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Righteousness is not holiness, but if you walk in the fruit of the Spirit, glory to God, that produces holiness.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I'm telling you now, I'm working on something here. I shall live and not dare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me sore, and he corrected me, but he hath not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, and I will go through them, and I will praise the Lord Jehovah. This gate of the Lord, into which righteousness shall enter, I will praise thee. For thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in my eyes. Now listen to me. Don't be going on with, oh, this is fantastic. I don't even like the word incredible. Fantastic means it's just fairy tale. Or incredible means it doesn't have any credibility. Use Bible words. It's marvelous in my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
It is awesome to me. Marvelous in my eyes. Praise God. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Oh,
oh, oh, oh. Oh, my.
That'll be all right. We'll just take us a little more prosperity here.
Amen.
What's the first thing you think of in prosperity? It's not a trick question.
Money.
Huh?
Money.
Money. It's a big part of it.
I think if you're so prosperous.
Well, now, yeah. Now, Creflo Dollar called it a pie. Money is just a piece of the pie. You must have it to function.
Yes.
And my needs according to your riches and glory. And I had the Lord said to me, look up. So I did when I prayed that. He said, include in your needs the needs of the people.
That's right.
Include them and meet their needs. So, to prosper spiritually, well, that's to be born again and baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
To prosper spiritually is soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. There came a time, and I prayed it. I said, Father, your will and my will have come together. You have written your will to me, and I'm yours to command. Now, and I had to do that because I had some real disappointments in the early years, and it was just because I didn't know enough. I had to learn that he sends it. Deuteronomy 8:18. Remember, it is God that gives you the power to get wealth in order to establish his covenants in
That's
the
it.
Earth. That's the purpose of the prosperity. Amen.
Amen.
So, we're singing the song. You are my God, I will praise you. You are my God, I will exalt you. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his hesed endures forever.
Whew. Holy Spirit made a connection for me just now. Verse 22, the stone which the builders refused to become the headstone of
yes.
the corner. We talked about it earlier this week. Acts 4, you have Peter saying this to the priests that are questioning, this is the stone which was
yes.
not of the builders. He's quoting
he
Psalm 118.
Yes.
So look at that. And he says prosperity and the name of the Lord. What's it they ask? Whose name did you do this by?
Yeah.
But what
Where
started
Where did you get this authority?
Yeah, but what started it all? A guy wanting prosperity that got healed.
At the beautiful gate.
Silver and gold have I none. So he's quoting this entire chapter. Because that's what happened in Acts 4.
That's what happened in Acts
4. Acts 4 fulfilled 118. Praise God.
Woo! Somebody ought to get stirred up and shout amen. Glory to God.
And this is why they didn't worry about the threats. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. And that man standing right there while the priests are questioning him. You can see it in Acts 4.
Yes.
He's standing right there. So what are you going to do? He's standing here. He's not lame anymore. His mercy endures forever.
What are we going to do with this? They said that. What are we going to do with this? It is obvious, a great miracle, but we have to stop the name. We got to stop the name, Yakivi. He hasn't stopped it yet.
To this day, he hasn't stopped it.
He hadn't stopped it yet.
That's what COVID was all about, trying to stop
yes.
churches and stop the name. But here it is, Psalm 118. That's exactly what happened with that guy at the beautiful gate.
That is it.
And that's what he preached
yes.
from. What did he do? He didn't defend his authority. He let the word do it for him.
Yes, sir.
And he preached the word.
But you have to say it.
You have.
Yes.
Now, where does that take us? Well, how about Mark 11?
Yes, sir.
Oh, I'll tell you, I've got this marked up. Now, I picked that up, class. I picked that up from a personal note in my Bible that took me to the 118th Psalm.
Wow.
Because I didn't have it on my mind, but the Lord revealed it to me. And I just make a note a little, you have to say it. 118:6. So we went over there and said it.
Amen.
Oh, glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
No, I'm moved ahead of the Lord. Go yeah. with me to the 5th chapter of the book of Hebrews
yes.
and we'll come back. We'll start once more from the fourth and then move over there into it. There's a great revelation here.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged knife. Now, class, I want you to pay attention to the word of God, okay? Say it, the word of God. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of sunder, soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature not manifest in his sight. He called the word of God his.
It is his.
It's in here. Mm-hmm. In his sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us come boldly, therefore, to the throne of grace, that we obtain mercy and grace in a time of need.
Yes.
Boldly, I come boldly to this throne.
Yes.
I come boldly to this throne. And there was a day that I was praying this, and I was on my knees, and I said, I come boldly, my liege, to this throne, and I bow in the name of Jesus. Got my answer. Received it quickly.
Yes.
We're not finished yet. We read on in the fifth chapter. Verse 4. This is what we had studied earlier. No man takes this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he said, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. And he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. In the days of his flesh, he offered up prayers with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death. He was heard and feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Being made perfect, blameless, he became the author of eternal salvation unto them that obey him. Called of God, a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. He's talking about Jesus at the right hand of the Father.
Yes.
Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For when you, for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need of one that teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. But strong meat belongs to them who are of full age, mature, even those by reason of use or practice have their senses to discern. Their senses exercise or train to discern both good and evil. The Lord said, that is the definition of your calling. To train people up in an uncommon faith. Yes. To become mature believers. Mm-hmm. Feeding not on the milk, but on the meat of God's Word. And then we had that is written and in place. And of course, in Kenneth Copeland Bible College, that's our mission statement. Yes. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. And of course, as you know, you're an instructor there. We have had people that have pastored for many years.
That's right.
That they come and retire and go through KCBC. And they get onto this. Yeah. How does some fellow say to me, I know who you are. You're that name it, blab it, name it, claim it, blab it, grab it bunch. I said, yes, I am. I named it, claimed it, blabbed it, grabbed it, now I have it. Now, what about you? Oh, I didn't think about that. So he wasn't stirred up at all. I get so stirred up about it sometimes.
Paul gives us an identifier going on down into chapter 6 from that.
Yes.
Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go unto perfection.
Yes.
Now, look at this. Pay attention, class. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. Now, that was my church. We all got saved every Sunday because that's all they ever preached. Yeah. You just tried to stay saved. And faith toward God. Of the doctrine of baptisms, we argued if your baptism took or not. If it was a true water baptism or if it was a false water baptism. Yes. That's the stuff we fought about. And the doctrine of laying on of hands and resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment. This is the stuff he's writing to Hebrews. This is the stuff that the Sadducees and the Pharisees fought over.
The principle, doctrine of Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah of God, is a very sacred thing.
Yes.
These are precious. Yes. You don't just do this when you ordain someone. No. Ordination is very strong and very profitable. Hands should be laid on you at the time of ordination.
Yes. It's a commandment.
And the Church at Antioch. And one of the prophets and teachers in that church was a black man. Mm-hmm. And they pointed it out. Mm-hmm. And they pointed it out, I believe, because of his place in that church. Mm-hmm. And the power that was on his life. Mm-hmm. Not the fact that he was black. But that he was one of them. Mm-hmm. Right there. And he's one that laid hands on Barnabas
and Saul.
Saul.
For the work which I called them.
Yes, he's not Paul yet.
Right.
And Barnabas outranked him.
That's right.
Barnabas had not persecuted the church.
Correct.
But eventually the apostles, the sent ones, mm-hmm. the apostles, Paul and Barnabas, because the apostle Paul had sat at the feet of Gamaliel. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
The most powerful rabbi teacher known in Israel at the time.
Whose father is Hillel.
Yes.
That's still regarded as one of the best rabbis ever.
That's the reason that we know that the book of Hebrews was written by the Apostle Paul.
Amen.
Talked about Timothy. And besides that, when
He didn't sign his name because they wouldn't receive it. The Jews wouldn't receive it. When Jesus lifted him up. Yeah.
Come up hither. Come up to the throne of God. And he asked him two things. He said, did you preach what you preached in Nazareth everywhere you went? He said, well, of course. He said, how would faith have come had I not preached that? He said, that was my text. And I'm quite sure this is where Brother Hagin got that. He said, that was my golden text.
That's right.
From Mark 11. Because that's where Brother Hagin was healed.
Right.
He said, did the Apostle Paul write the book of Hebrews? He said, yes. He was the only one qualified.
That's right. I believe Hebrews and Galatians were once one book. And history, Bible teaches that. Notice in chapter 5 of Hebrews, glorified not himself.
Because in Galatians, redeemed from the curse of the law.
That's it.
And that just flows right into what happened in the book of Hebrews.
They fit together if you read it.
And the sin unto death is in the book of Hebrews. Go
ahead. When we were ordained, Michelle and I, Brother Hagin laid hands on us. And I had somebody say to me just a few months ago, why you let Brother Copeland have people call you professor? This person had a problem with me being called professor. And I said, because he called me one day and said, I want you to be in class. You were teaching the students. I didn't know why you were calling me. Went over there and you laid hands on me and conferred that. And so I walk in that. You're a prophet. You conferred that.
And I talked with Dean Irby about it.
Come on.
Are you listening?
Yes.
I talked to Dean Irby about it. And he said, well, that's exactly what he is.
Yes.
He is a professor. Analyze the word. He is professing.
That's right.
The book to the student.
Yes.
Mark 11, you got to say it.
But you have to say it. And I laid my hands on him and separated him into the office of the professor.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
And we're out of time.
No.
But we'll be back in just a moment.
The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. God is ready to bring salvation in every area of life when you call to Him in faith. However, people cannot call on the name of the Lord for salvation if they have not heard of His love and saving power. And if they have not heard the good news, then they don't have the faith to receive the salvation He promised them. That's what makes partnerships so important. The financial seed you sow into ministries that preach the gospel help accelerate and expand the reach of that good news. For over 57 years, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland have been preaching the good news that Jesus is the only Lord and Savior. He is the one who has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness and has made us joint heirs with Him in heavenly places. Partners and friends, your financial support is helping us not only to bring salvation to people, but you're helping to teach believers who they are in Christ and what belongs to them as children of God. Your seed enables us to send the saving power of God's Word free of charge to people all over the world. We're reaching people through KCM events, the BVLV magazine, the KCM website, TV broadcast, KCM products, and Kenneth Copeland Bible College, and so much more. In return, your partnership gives you access to the same anointing that is on Kenneth and Gloria Copeland to do the things God has called you to do. You also will never go a day without prayer here at Kenneth Copeland Ministries. The Copelands and our staff pray for you every day, and we're believing with you for the manifestation of God's promises in your life. Thank you so much, partners. We love you and we bless you. But before we go, I want to pray over your offering today. Lord Jesus, you are the high priest and the apostle of our confession. You are the Lord of our harvest, and in your hand is the ability to make great and to give strength unto all. For all riches come from you, and you reign over all. And in your name and by your Holy Spirit, I declare the blessing over every sower today. And I decree the abundant harvest be made manifest according to your faithfulness and the power of your word to increase them more and more to overflow. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, this is Brother Larry reminding you, God loves you, we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Period. Believe what that book says, not what your feelings say.
Join us for the California Victory Campaign with Kenneth Copeland, November 14th through the 16th. Register at kcm.org/ca today.
Jesus said, you will know the truth and the truth will make you free. Some people say, set you free. No, no, no. Mm-hmm. No, that's not what he said. Set you free is a different thing. He said, it will make you free.
Yes,
it that is an action word. It will make you free. Mm-hmm. And this has been much truth about these things. Amen. Praise God. And we're headed into Christmas. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my, what marvelous times we have together in this place. Remember this. Always. You always remember it. That God loves you. And we love you. And Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland want to thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. To learn more about Kenneth Copeland Ministries and how we can help you grow in faith, check out our website for free content and resources available to you on kcm.org.uk.